This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:06, you are with Kelvin and Ayman on the Evening Edition. And our first story this hour is about the impact of restructuring GLCs. So we're referring to this article from Bloomberg, which talks about the balance the government needs to achieve in its desire to reform GLCs and lower cost of living, but also not spooking the markets and investors.
So the article noted two examples, which are Telecom and TNB. And in Telecom's case, when broadband prices were lowered, it led to a loss of almost $1 billion in its market value since May 2018. And on the other hand, for TNB, after the government said they would open up the retail electricity market to new players, its shares dropped 18% since September 2018.
So these deals helped us out, the average Malaysian, you know, our internet bills got cheaper. And there's a chance that if the government does go through with the proposal of opening up the retail electricity market, that our electricity bills will too go down. But the cost of these deals might be paid for by state funds like EPF and Permodalan National Berhad or PNB. So EPF saw its investment income following last year, and PNB, which owns 12% of Telecom and 9% of TNB, announced its lowest income distribution since 1990 to unit holders of ASB or Amanah Saham Bumi Putra.
And an analyst that Bloomberg spoke to said that the government needs to be more aware of the impact that policy changes can have, and they should consult stakeholders as well, and, you know, also give the market enough time to get ready for the changes.
Yeah, so I think every time we talk about this, I think a lot of people and everyone's likely on board with the fact that GLCs do need some amount of restructuring. You know, this has always been an ongoing conversation. Actually, just out of that piece, you know, they also talked about how Datuk Shahril Rizwan, who is the managing director of Khazanah National, he said that the government should move away from having golden shares in GLCs and to choose to actually regulate GLCs through industry regulators instead. Tunam, on the other hand, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, he said that the government will only do so after conducting a proper study on each case. So, you know, at least these things are sort of coming to the fore. But, you know, as hinted by the Bloomberg article, of course, it is important to, while it is a good thing to reform GLCs, it is very important to consider the hows and when you choose to do something like this also.
Yeah, I mean, depending on your own personal ideology, right? Some may prefer a smaller government that is not involved in business, but rather...
Yeah, and Mate himself, Tun M has said a government has no business being in business.
Yeah, exactly. So ideally, for some people, they think that, you know, government shouldn't be involved in business, but rather, make sure that the regulations are solid so that, you know, people can thrive, businesses can thrive. Because right now, there is the argument that GLCs are sort of smothering or dominating the market. They have all the resources, they are large, and they dominate businesses. So if there were to be a restructuring of GLCs, as we have seen with Telecom and TNB, for example, it does allow more space for small and medium enterprises, for example, to grow further and be generate more revenue and you know, contribute to the GDP. And that, in turn, I think in the long run, will encourage more foreign investment into the country as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's also maybe just for now, and this is my rough feel, that perhaps for now it is just short-term pain for long-term gain, right? Because in the long term, this will benefit the economy, where perhaps the government might have less of a say in some of these large companies and be able to let more competition come in and take place. And then we, in the end of being customers and consumers, we're able to get better deals out of the many other companies that come in. And just, you know, briefly going back to that note about golden shares, which both Khazanah as well as Tun Dr. Mahathir was talking about, it is an interesting thought to think about maybe getting rid of that, right? Because what essentially what they provide for is that they give shareholders, in this case, the government in GLCs, the ability to appoint their own candidates for high managing positions. It also gives the shareholder veto power over changes to the company charter, and also provides the ability to block another shareholder takeover or acquisition by another company. So the reasons given, of course, is that you don't want a hostile takeover by another company of public services, of certain key portfolios that the government perhaps want to keep their hold on. But you know, just on that note of being able to veto a candidate for high managing positions, you know, that might actually be in line with sort of what the government has said about not appointing politicians, political members into those high managing positions, because these are very important roles and they dictate a lot of parts of the economy.
Yeah, I mean, having that kind of power can lead to rooms for exploitation, right? So if you are in a position of power, you can appoint, you know, your friends and whatnot into the GLCs and... Yeah.
Not family members.
And family members as well. So obviously that's not very good. So yeah, so getting rid of that will be good for the country.
And we're going to dive a bit deeper into this with Jayant Menon, who is the lead economist at the Asian Development Bank. Jayant, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Now, to start off, do you think these are short-term pains that were expected with the restructuring of GLCs? And can we then expect a long-term gain from this?
I think a lot of the issue about GLC reform is largely a question about trading off short-term for long-term. Surely at the moment, the government is concerned about its fiscal position and it needs to, you know, strengthen its coffers. And so it's looking for a quick fix in terms of divestment, earnings, or proceeds to deal with this longer-term issue of a growing budget deficit. That issue of the deficit requires tax reform, right? And the reintroduction of a broad-based tax. That's no other solution to it. But the question, I think, relates to timing of the divestment. This is clearly not the best time to be divesting because markets, as you say, are down. But they're down for many reasons, including external factors. The U.S.-China trade war and the overall slowdown expected in the global economy is putting downward pressure on stock markets. So maybe not the best time to divest, but it needs to be done gradually. The market can't absorb a huge, sell-off. This will cause further downward pressure. So they need to think carefully about the timing and the process by which there are gradual tranche-based sell-offs of government assets in these many GLCs.
And apart from the timing factor, will it be the case that different GLCs will face different issues in the reform process?
Right, yeah. I think the first point to note there is that there is a role for government in the market. I don't think, we need to look at government divesting completely. Having said that, there's a lot of sectors in which the government doesn't have to be there, right? Unless there's market failure or there's some kind of a social function or an equity objective that the government wants to pursue, there's probably no need for government to be present in such a domineering way as they are at the moment. So they're good and bad GLCs. They need to look at the ones that probably they don't need to be involved in, but then they're the ones that probably won't fetch a very good market price. So it's a trade-off. There could be divestment in some of the more profitable sectors, and then there's a need to look at GLCs that don't really play any social or equity role, or address a market failure. And these GLCs need to be slowly divested without too much of a loss to government. But they're good and bad ones, and that needs to be studied very carefully. This should not be done in any hurried kind of way.
So a suggestion that was brought up in the Bloomberg article was that the government should consult stakeholders besides give the market more time to prepare for the changes. I guess that's similar to what you mentioned about doing this move gradually.
Yes, that's right. I think that's pretty much the same point that's being made by Bloomberg. I guess the only additional issue there is that, absorption by the markets, right? Sure, you can consult stakeholders, but we need to be careful. There are vested interests here that will try and limit the divestment. There are lots of people in very cushy positions as CEOs and directors and so on that will clearly not want to lose that position or that financial gain. So, you know, that needs to be borne in mind as well. There's a broader governance issue here that needs to be addressed. And government needs to also take a leadership role in pressing ahead in resisting the vested interests who will try and slow down or limit divestment because they have a lot to lose personally from the process.
And do you think we've progressed significantly when it comes to GLC reforms, including the governance aspect that you just mentioned?
Right. Okay, so this is not the first time that the government has tried to reform GLCs, right? There was the GLC transformation program that was overseen by Khazanah. This was initiated during the previous administration. And what we found there was there were several useful reforms brought in to try and get the GLCs to operate more like private firms, to bring in market forces, to discipline their activities. This is not easy, but there were some positive measures that were introduced. But the final outcome from that GLC transformation program was that government ended up having an even bigger stake in the market than before. So clearly the divestment function that was being pursued failed, right? They ended up being bigger investors rather than smaller investors in the end. So I think this is my concern even now, that they don't end up simply divesting from some sectors and then diversifying by entering into new sectors. And this could end up creating new issues, new problems further down the track. So the reform process needs to be done by a competent and independent group of people that understand both the need for you know, the government to play a social role as well as the need to reduce the presence of GLCs in sectors that they don't really belong in.
Are there other not so positive outcomes that can be expected to happen as we continue the restructuring process?
So I guess the point here, the real cost of these GLCs in a country like Malaysia, where they're present in every sector, right, including real estate, construction, telecom, media, name it, they're there. And very often they're there in a dominating kind of way, right, where they have huge market power in those sectors. And this is limiting the role that the private sector could potentially play in those sectors. There is evidence, clear evidence, in work that I've done with my colleague Bernard Ng at ADB, where we showed that GLCs are indeed crowding out private investment. So this is not just a concern, it's actually an empirical fact. So crowding out private investment is a big cost to the growth prospects of the economy, but it's a non-transparent cost, so it's not so obvious, but it's a real cost. And reforming GLCs in critical sectors where private sector should be the dominant player will benefit the country, but in the long run. So there might be short-term pains during the restructuring process, but in the long run, this will be beneficial to growth as well as to consumers as they receive lower prices for a lot of services and therefore address this cost of living concern that's currently a big issue in Malaysia.
Jayen, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was Jayen Menon, lead economist at the Asian Development Bank, which actually just launched a book today. It's titled Asia's Journey to Prosperity, and it's an in-depth analysis of Asia's growth over the past 5 decades. Jayen is a co-author for the book, and you can download it for free on their website at adb.org. Again, that's adb.org. Of course, you know, I think there are plenty of takeaways from there that, mm-hmm. in the short term, yeah, it's going to be a hard process. But in the long term, I think for everyone, it's going to benefit us. And it does tie in very well with what we've been asking governments after government to do, which is to lower the cost of living.
Yeah, like to reduce the shocks is important to do it in a gradual kind of manner, right? So that, you know, so that the stakeholders won't be so affected and the markets won't be, you know, facing the kind of effects that we saw when TNB and Telecom were restructured.
If you have any thoughts on this story, you can call us at 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.